Welcome to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Talk radio to inspire, inform, and stimulate. Bringing you enlightened discussions with authors, creatives, innovative business and health professionals, and ordinary people living extraordinary lives, sharing their expertise and life stories, making a difference one word at a time. Now, here's your host, Vicki St. Clair.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome, welcome. So if you're feeling stretched and overwhelmed and a little frenzied right now, it's not surprising, right, with everything that's going on. But my guest says the systems we live and work in are actually built for burnout, and so that's compounding on everything else that we're dealing with. One of the things we're going to talk about today is how to create a structure, rhythm, and way of working and living that helps support and sustain you. My guest promises not to add to your to-do list, but to teach you different ways of being and showing up. So let me tell you a little bit about my guest. She is Christina Rylo. She's the author of the book we're talking about today, Overwhelmed and Over It. She's a transformational leadership advisor, three-time best-selling author, and host of the Feminine Power Time podcast. And she lives up here in the Pacific Northwest. The full title of her book is Overwhelmed and Over It, Embrace Your Power to Stay Centered and Sustained in a Chaotic World. And here's my guest, Christine Arilo. Christine Arilo, welcome, welcome.
Hello, good to be here. I'm excited for our conversation today.
Well, I am too. And your name was familiar. And of course, I've interviewed, you know, probably around 1,500 guests by now. So I was like, did we or didn't we talk before? And we did. But it was 11 years ago. Shockingly, it was 11 years ago. So I'm pleased to have you back. I know since then you've written more books. And we're talking today, of course, about your latest, which is called Overwhelmed and Over It. And very timely, but you didn't write this obviously for the pandemic, but it came out at the perfect time, right?
Yeah, I've actually been researching and experimenting and living this for over a decade around overwhelm and self-sacrifice and burnout, and then been writing the book for 3 years. So it was so fascinating when the pandemic kind of hit the United States, specifically in March, and I was like, wow, like this is everything I've been writing about for the last 3 years. So it feels divinely guided for sure to be coming out at this time.
Right. And the book basically, you say, is a call to action. It's an invitation to every woman to liberate ourselves from self-sacrifice and burnout. You have a lot of tools in here to help us realize where we are right now and how we can get out of that situation if it's something we want to change. But I want to start with this, Christine. You say we've become so resilient that we've become too tolerant. What do you mean by that?
You know, burnout and overwhelm and feeling like we don't have what we need as women has been around for a long time. This is not a new 2020 situation. It's been happening for decades, for generations even. If you take it all the way back to the 60s and 70s, when women really started to enter the workforce in full force, we've been trying to solve for this for a long time. And we've been, you know, throwing self-care at it and stress management and work-life balance and all these strategies that I found really are just getting us, like, to the symptom, like putting a Band-Aid on the symptom versus actually getting to the deeper root reasons why we, as smart as we are, have not been able to create lives that feel sustainable and are sustainable. And there's some real deeper reasons to that, but that resilience piece, almost like we can do anything, we'll just suck it up, like, you know, push through, work hard. We're tolerating ways of working and living and how our society runs that actually don't have how humans naturally work and function at heart at all.
Yes, and so much has been written about resilience lately over the last few years. About, you know, it's the secret ingredient to sustainable happiness or joy, you know, and I do think resilience is important. It's key, really, for us. But as you say, we can take that to the nth degree, and that's what your work's all about here. So let's go back to the systems you talked about, and the systems are built for burnout. you say, so it's not really our fault. We want to pass the blame off there, but we're the only ones who can change it. So what do we need to know about these systems and the way they're built? What are you talking about there?
That makes me just take an exhale, Vicki. Everyone exhale, because I just want to underline what you just said. It's not your fault. You haven't been able to figure this out by now. And the reason is because the systems that we live in and we work in, so education, government, corporate, healthcare, everything that basically creates the society we live in, I really believe has been built for burnout, not intentionally. Like there's like, you know, some Dr. Evil, you know, sitting somewhere being like, you know, like let's burn out the humans. But if you think about it from a consciousness perspective, systems have a consciousness based on when they were created. So all of the ways that many of the ways that we function as a society, you can trace it back at least to the Industrial Revolution, which was all about grow bigger, be the best, accumulate, dominate, grow, big. And then that, you know, transferred into the age of information and then the age of technology. And so all of these systems have been created to just basically grow, more, consume. And you think about it, even how we value things in the stock market, for example. It's all about, like, how fast can you grow, exponential growth. And if you're a company that doesn't keep growing, you know, you're not doing well. And it translates all the way back down to us as individuals. Now, the thing that we don't really take time to look around is that as humans, we actually created all these systems, right? So it's not like Mother Nature's like, this is how the financial, you know, economy of our world needs to work. We designed that,
right?
Which means we have the power, you, Vicki, I, everyone listening, to actually do things differently. And that's what's happening right now. The systems that are crumbling all around us, it's like the universe is saying, the way we're working isn't working. Hey, humans, wake up and let's design a different way of working and living and operating as a society.
Right, because as you said, you know, these systems, many of them were built many years ago and just kind of moved forward without us being taken into consideration, because they were designed by men initially, because men were the ones who were primary in the workforce. And we have not caught up with that. Even though we've made some strides, we definitely have not caught up with that.
Well, and we had to assimilate into that as women. So in part of my research, I was like, I need to talk to some of the women that were around, you know, at the forefront in the 60s and the 70s. And I ended up having a few conversations with some amazing women, including Gloria Steinem. And what I found in my research and my conversations was, you think back to the consciousness in the 1960s, 70s, 80s, as women really did move fully into the workforce. And what happened was is there weren't enough women in places of power or position or influence and or even any conscious male allies or beings. So we kind of had to suck it up and play the game that was handed to us. And so we cut our hair, we wore shoulder pads. Do you remember shoulder pads?
I do, yeah. I was kind of sad when they went away, although I've got huge shoulders because I used to be a swimmer.
And so we just, you know, like we became like men to play in this very competitive, it's a very competitive game. And, you know, we just step on top of, you know, other women to get, you know, it's all designed to compete with each other. And it's also still about consumption, accumulation, and domination. And, you know, we fast forward now to 2020, and what's happening is there, and this is part of why I wrote this book, Overwhelmed and Over It, is we are in places of power. We are in places of influence. Consciousness is different. I mean, I joke that my mother was growing up and raising me. She only had Phil Donahue. There was no Oprah. There was no you. There was no me. We didn't have podcasting. And so we have this potential now, but we're just so tired. You know, we're so exhausted. We're so overwhelmed just trying to keep our heads above the water. You're like, now you want me to change the world? And right. That is, I'm not saying that. I actually am just asking us first to stop and wake up to what's happening in the systems, and then to embrace our power, that if they were created by humans, of which we are one, we can actually start to make some small but significant and also some bigger changes based on what our part is to play in this great transformation we're going through right now.
Right. And I want to just share some statistics that you share in Overwhelmed and Over It about the systems we live and work in, because they're not sustainable. Doctors in residence, I mean, this is laughable. We all know doctors in residence work long, long hours, 80-hour weeks, right? But when you break that down, it said that the law said they can't work more than 28 hours per shift. And there they are taking care of sick people. No wonder, you know, so many drop out of medical school. 41% of teachers leave in the first 5 years. And I remember writing a series of articles on this a few years ago. Most of those drop out in the first year. 72% of entrepreneurs report mental health concerns, and 30% of entrepreneurs are more likely to experience depression than the general public. And then we get into the companies that work in online distribution. I've done a couple of shows on this. And this is just the tip of the iceberg, but you say that some companies in large online distribution companies, their employees are forced to wear bracelets to monitor productivity, leading some to urinate in bottles so they don't get docked for bathroom visits. And as I said, I've done a couple of shows on that. That's just the tip of the iceberg with some of those companies. So when we look at that realistically, it just is not sustainable. And it's no wonder, you know, burnout used to be a joke. Oh, I'm burnt out. I need a vacation. We're not talking that kind of burnout anymore. We're talking about burnout that it takes a long time to climb back from.
It is, and it's affecting our kids. I mean, this is the thing I'm trying to also do is, like, wake up. I call it the fierce feminine heart in women for ourselves, for the planet, for our children, that we don't just take that, oh, okay, I just need to, like, rest for a weekend, and we plow back in, right? Or we have what I call the superwoman sob moment. I don't know if you've had these, Vicky, but I've had my share where the pressure is just too much, and, like, oh, the tears, you know, come falling down. Mm-hmm. And I think it's part of what we're seeing in this, in what's going on right now in the world, whether it's the pandemic or the all of this stuff. It's actually, you look at just like working mothers, for example, who have, you know, school age children, like literally just got put all kinds of more on their plate, on already full plates. And it's like what's happening is it's bringing us past the breaking point. Like most of us have been just really, it's been like treading water. What can I do to just keep my head above the water? Drink my green drinks, I'll try to get sleep, you know, like all these life hacks that we're after, versus like what's happening now. It's like this, like the universe, like Mother Earth is like, hey, mothers of the world, like look at what's going on. You can't just keep doing more.
Right.
You can't. It's actually it's an impossible equation. And I think that's the piece of like even that no more part is like, what's no more for you in your life? Like to bring it down to the personal part. It's like once we look at what's going on in the planet, then what if you can look around in your own life and say, okay, what's not sustainable for me any longer, and how I'm working, how I'm relating, how my life is set up. And then instead of just going back to normal or just a 5% better, actually each of us being able to make some simple but significant changes, say, actually, you know what? I'm not doing that anymore. I'm not going to commute to work 2 hours a day in the morning and 2 hours at night. I'm not going to, you know, whatever, work 80 hours a week as a doctor, which a lot of my clients do, and then try to fit in a family and a life. Like, we actually have to reimagine and redesign the way we're working.
Yes, and I think, if nothing else, COVID has brought this home to many people. You know, I've worked from my own place for many, many years. I've had my own studio for many years. So that part of this whole situation hasn't changed for me. But I hear from friends that some actually miss that going into the office and having the chit chat. Others are like, what the heck was I thinking? No wonder, you know, I had no time. I spend 4 hours a day on the freeway up here in, you know, Seattle. If you've got, you know, more than 20 miles to travel, it's a journey these days. So one other thing I want to just put out here, and then I want to look at some solutions, okay? But I've read several reports, and you've probably seen them too, saying that one in four women are considering leaving the workforce or downshifting their careers because of COVID-19. Obviously, a lot of things factor into that. Probably the realization, you know, they don't want to spend time on the freeway is one of them. But more importantly, childcare and schooling, you know, homeschooling, and wanting to keep their kids home factors into that too. So, you know, that's also affecting the workforce that is out there as it exists today and ultimately is going to have an impact down the road. So let's just look at some solutions here. Can we go a little bit more into the feminine wisdom? Because I'll be really honest, when I hear things like that, I think, oh, woo-woo, but you're not talking woo-woo. You're not talking woo-woo here. So how does somebody who really doesn't understand what that is tap into it?
A good question, and I'll normalify just a little background on me. I grew up in Chicago in the Midwest, and there was no woo to the woo-woo going when I was growing up. And when I got my MBA, I was trained in these very traditional, like, you know, models for success and how you work and all of that. And I had no idea. If you had said to me, Christine, you need the feminine, I would have looked at you like, I don't know what you're talking about. And about 2005, 2006, when I ended up leaving my corporate job to be an entrepreneur and to write these books and do this work, I thought, oh, this will be so much better. And 6 months in, I found myself at another superwoman sob, sitting in the middle of my office, and, you know, I had my vision board on one side of, like, all my dreams and goals. And just no matter how hard I worked or how much I did, it just wasn't enough, and there wasn't enough time, energy, space, money. And I, at that point, I had developed a relationship with what I would call my inner wisdom or feminine wisdom, that intuitive part within us that we're not trained and or even it's not even valued in how we grow up and how we educate ourselves. And I'm like, what do I need? And I just got really quiet after the tears subsided, and I just heard these words, you need the feminine. Because how you're working in this way you've been trained to work, you're never going to reach your mission, but B, you're gonna burn out, you're going to get sick. And I was like, I don't know what that is, but okay. Okay. And so that began now in a 15, 20-year journey of deepening what that is. And I think if I just gave you the simplest part of that, within each of us, this is a big piece of the work I do in leadership is helping people understand what the feminine is. It's a different way of working and leading and succeeding. We also have a masculine way, so kind of think yin yang, right? You know, the symbol, the yin yang, the fire, you have water. It's the same. We have more feminine qualities, we have more masculine qualities. So, for example, one, I call them power spectrums, and we have these different, at least 13 different power spectrums within us, that when you get these working in harmony together, you actually find better ways, more efficient, more productive ways to work. So one of the power spectrums, if you were to put your hand out on the left, that's the feminine, one side would be intuition, and then you put your right hand out, that's the masculine side, that's the intellect. And so in our society, this would be an example, we overvalue the intellect. What's rational? What's logical? Can you prove it? You know, is it scientifically proven? And if it doesn't, if it's not, then it's woo-woo or it's not valid, right? But that's only half your power. On the other side, you have the intuition, which is your sensing, your feeling, that deeper knowing that every woman has experienced, especially if, like, you're a mother. A mother's like, I know something's wrong. How do you know? You just know, right? Like, we have all these knowings.
Right.
And so part of a big part of my work is helping women reopen, reaccess that wisdom, that intuition, and trust it. And then you marry that with your intellect, and what you do is you gain access to wisdom. You see possibilities and you see ways of doing things that you can't just see with the mind alone, because the mind alone can only create what it's seen before or it's seen other people do. And in order for us to actually reimagine and redesign different possibility, we have to be able to access our intuition, which comes much more from our body and much more from our heart, or what the yogis would call the imaginal field, or the scientists like Einstein called the imaginal field. And that, I think, is part of what the pandemic is breaking people's, like, breaking up what's possible, because we don't even, you couldn't even see it as a possibility before. Like, you and I, Vicki, we know this, right? I've been working from home for over 15 years too, but now people are seeing, oh wow, you can do this. right. And so that's part of accessing this whole other part, which is this deep feminine wisdom that actually knows how to create the new way.
Right.
Of your family and the world.
One of the questions you share about in looking for your feminine wisdom is, what is whispering or screaming at you? And I think we often ignore those whispers. It's too easy to shove them down. I just feel tired, or, you know, I'll feel better about it next week. So those whispers, I think, are critical.
Oh my God, they're like, because if you know, you know, you know, you know this, Vicky knows everybody. If you don't listen to the whisper, you know what happens. It starts getting louder, and then all of a sudden you get hit with a 2x4, or you get hit with, like, all the Mack truck, and it happens where you then have drama and distress in your life because you're not actually listening to that deeper wisdom within you.
Yeah.
And that's why we talked 11 years ago, Vicky, because my first book, Choosing Me Before We, is about my wake-up call from the universe that came through my relationship. And I wasn't listening to that voice, and it kept saying, you know, this is not the relationship for you, this is not the life for you. And I was like, no, like, I will, like, you know, I will live this version of success. And I didn't want to have to listen, because by listening to that voice, I was going to have to make some changes. I was going to have to look more deeply within myself about why I had created a life that wasn't even the life that was really nourishing me, that wasn't really in alignment for me. And that created for me a promise to myself way back then, 11 years ago, now 20 years ago, I will never settle for less than my heart and soul desire.
Right, right.
Which means I have to go figure out, what is my heart desire?
Absolutely.
What is my soul desire? And that's part of what I'm asking all of us to do, is, like, this is the gift of slowing down. What does my heart really desire? What is my soul? What is my soul?
Yes.
Kind of like that.
And we have to give ourselves space. I mean, you've got some great tools in the book. We also have to give ourselves space to be able to quiet ourselves enough to feel those whispers and hear that contradiction in ourselves, if you will, because, you know, the busier we are, the easier it is to keep shoving it down. That brings me to my next question. Work-life balance. Okay, I'm a communication strategist as a consultant. So one of the things that I've noticed over the last few years is that no company anymore talks about work-life balance, because they know it's not a reality. They use different terms now. I like the term that you used. You say seek harmony versus balance. So would you talk to us about that?
I would. I think it's like work-life integration and work-life alignment.
Satisfaction is used,
right?
A lot, yeah.
But here's still the problem. Yeah, work on one side, so let's use our hands again. Everyone put your hand out, work on the left, okay, mm-hmm. There's work. Put right out, your right hand out, that's life. And so when you, this is called, what's called the duality reality, work and life, and if you would actually close your fists and have work on the left and life on the right, you stand in the middle and it's like a tug of war. In any duality reality, it's just back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And so your life is not two parts. Think about that. If you subscribe, even if it's work-life integration, we have work and then everything else in your life, everything is supposed to fit in this other half, right? Of kids and money and your home and your enjoyment and your creative expression. And that isn't, well, who would want, I don't want to live like that.
Right.
You know, I don't have just two parts of myself. And then the other part of it is, in the balance part, obviously, is because balance is equilibrium. And no one lives a still life. You have moments of balance. I always say you want to cultivate balance within. And if you have a duality reality that's constellating your life, work, life, and how you're managing and organizing your life, you're never, ever, ever really going to feel like you have a whole life and you have enough space for what you need. I always say, so many women are like, I just need more time. I need more time. I'm like, no, actually what you need is more space. You think that time is going to give you. Time is linear. It's just like this work-life thing. But when you open up the shape to a circle, so imagine a circle, everybody. Imagine you're standing in the center of the circle. Take a breath to just slow everything down. So this is really important, because the mind moves things quickly. The heart and wisdom moves at a slower speed. So imagine that you're in the center of your life, and your role is to cultivate harmony. And the best metaphor I have is, if you're a conductor, and you're standing in the center, and you have around you these eight realms, just like a symphony orchestra conductor would have strings and the percussions and the winds and, you know, all those different parts. You have the same thing in your life. You have You have your work, it's one realm, but you also have your financial flow. You have your beloved relationships. You have your own emotional health and happiness. You have your physical foundation at home. There's eight realms to a whole life. Your job is to stand in the middle and, like a conductor and a choreographer, be in this diverse, dynamic life, be in relationship to it without over-focusing on any one part. And just by creating a circle, which seems like this woman is talking about shapes. What I can tell you, if I go into an organization and I do organizational consulting and I take their org chart, which is hierarchical, or even if it's like a little web, and I draw it into a circle and I start using the shape of a circle, all of a sudden, how you organize and constellate things totally changes, and all this wisdom opens up on how to operate differently. It seems really simple, but don't discount the simplicity for a lack of significance.
Right. I want to talk about creating rhythm versus routine, mm-hmm. because I think that's so key. I myself do not like routine at all, but I really appreciate rhythm. So could you talk to us about creating rhythm versus routine?
Yeah, so routine basically means a rote procedure you do over and over and over and over again. So you know that movie Groundhog Day,
yeah.
where you just like, you get up, you go to work, you do the same thing, you know, like that's, there's just,
I have been there,
follow,
I must admit.
And there's no joy in that, right? There's
yeah.
no creativity in that, and you just start to feel like a machine. And rhythm, one of the teachings, the wisdom teaching, so I've studied all the traditional leadership stuff, but I have also studied indigenous wisdom, yogic wisdom, and sacred feminine wisdom, and that's what I do. I take all this stuff together to create a different way to kind of work and live in this time. And so the teaching across all wisdom traditions is the same. When you get your life into alignment with how the natural world works, you will naturally work and create in a rhythm that is sustainable, where you can achieve what matters and have space to savor your life. And so when I'm working with people, and it's like changing your whole understanding of how time works. If you look at the natural world, the sun rises, the sun goes down. That's one cycle, right? The moon goes around 29 and a half days, and it ebbs and it flows. So just like your energy should ebb and flow. It's not wake up on January 1st and then push your way through until December, then fall over in a heap, give yourself 2 weeks, and then start again. And so there's these natural cycles where, like, you've heard of the four seasons. At those four seasons, you want to actually stop and pause at the equinoxes and the solstices and, like, look, what's happened? Where have I been? Like, this is, like, amazing way to plan your business and plan your goals. And it's so connected to Mother Earth, and it's interesting, Vicki, I'm curious in your work, or that, you know, for years I've been teaching this and living this, and while there certainly are people, obviously, that work with me and do this, I have gotten a lot of the, that's so weird, that's so woo-woo, that's so whatever. I'm like, it's the Earth. It's
yeah.
how things work. There's
yeah.
nothing woo-woo about it, but it's like, that's that overlay that we have to get really clear about, what Clarissa Pinkola Estes calls the overculture that we've assimilated into, that doesn't want us to actually know our intuition, doesn't want us to live in alignment with the seasons, because we would look around and be like, yeah, we're not working this way anymore. We're not machines. And so there's like a programming, there's imprints in us that make us discount the very wisdom that is our path to liberation.
Yes. You know, when I've had years, it doesn't always work out, but I've had years where I want to work 10 months of the year and then take those other 2 months to just creative free fall, if you will. And those have been the best and the most productive years, but it hasn't always been possible.
Well, we don't trust the space. I mean, this is a big piece of when I was writing Overwhelmed and Over It and kind of getting to the seven root reasons of why we haven't been able to solve for this. One of it is, even if I said to you all, hey, you can have those 2 months, right? If you can have those 2 months, like in the winter time, November 1st through February 1st is known as the Kiva time in the wisdom traditions. And it's a time where, you know, Mother Nature is like, you know, she's like shut down. She's
right.
like all on the inside. And
right.
I create a lot during that time, but I'm on the inner realms kind of creating. And what I find for myself and others, if you're given the space, we fill it.
Yes.
We feel it because we're like, we're not used to being.
Right, right. Well, we're almost at the end of our conversation here. It's so much great stuff in this book. I just want to very quickly talk about the four realms of support and how we often self-sabotage and abandon ourselves. And the four realms of support very quickly are physical and material, spiritual, mental and intellectual, emotional and relational. And you say there are 10 root reasons that show why we may prevent ourselves from getting the support we need. Why do we most often self-sabotage? I mean, you talk with a lot of people. What do you see as the most common thing coming up? And, you know, why do we abandon ourselves like that?
Well, we've been imprinted to do so. You know, we've been imprinted that it's better to give than receive. Like, that's one imprint that's in there. We've been imprinted that, you know, don't be weak. It's need. To need things is needy. And so there's all these imprints that are, it's more than beliefs. It's like, really, they're cultural imprints that get in there, and then we just start operating that way. And I think with the giving and the receiving, we've been said in our culture, it's okay to be a strong achiever. Like, that's great. That means you're strong and successful. Be a selfless caregiver. You know, there's like this value in like how busy you are and how much you give and how much you sacrifice. And what I'm asking people to do and inviting them is like this better to give than receive thing, like out the window with you. It's better to give and receive. And most of us haven't been trained on how to be what I call an unapologetic, graceful receiver. And instead of a selfless caregiver, a generous caregiver. And it's a getting really clear about how you're overgiving and overcompensating in ways that are bankrupting you and not allowing you to get the support you need.
Right.
And I know it's been a lesson for me. I didn't feel supported a lot. But, you know, one of the reasons I self-sabotaged it is because I am a card-carrying member in the Invincible Superwoman Club. It was. I mean, I keep trying to, like, give it back. I got it. No, I got it. You know, and I appear so strong to everyone that they don't even think I need support.
Right. And I think that's a common theme. I hear a lot of strong women saying, nobody ever thinks my problems matter, or, you know, I can just deal with them by myself. So the book is called Overwhelmed and Over It, Embrace Your Power to Stay Centered and Sustained in a Chaotic World. I know listeners can find out much more about you, Christine, at your website, christinearilo.com. Final thoughts you'd like to leave our listeners with today?
I think I would just say to remember, it's not your fault. You haven't been able to figure it out by yourself. You can't do what's coming next without support. It's not possible. We actually really need to have the support we need. And if we don't have the support we need, we actually have to redesign or release and say, actually, I can't do that. No. And that takes a lot of courage, and it will definitely push your buttons. But that's where I would say, like, you know, cultivate your support, cultivate your sisterhood, and know how your heart works so that you can find those deeper reasons why you overgive, push, drive, and grind in ways that you don't need to. And then let's reimagine a new world together.
Perfect. Christina Rilo, thank you so much. Great talking with you.
You too.
And listeners can find us at conversationslive.net if you have questions, comments, or feedback. On today's conversation, you can reach me there at conversationslive.net. We'll see you next week. Until then, live well, stay strong.
Radio is very competitive. Shows soar in popularity and then flame out. Sometimes, however, a real connection is made with an audience, and success blooms year after year. For over a decade, Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair has built a loyal following thanks to inspiring and stimulating conversation. Longevity, loyalty, exclusivity. Smart advertisers seek it out. With Vicki's valuable audience, the search is over. Discover the affordable, effective ways to advertise your business. Log on to conversationslive.net. That's conversationslive.net today.